Are you feeling more fulfilled now that you're back to work?
On August 15th.
No. I need a vacation.
See the movie that critics are saying is an awesome.
Look at that.
Crowd pleasing. Fist pumping. All out brawl of a film.
You're right about that.
They're coming after our family. Go fix this.
Oh my.
Nobody 2. Rated R. Only in theaters August 15th.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from America's Navy. The Navy offers new graduates hands-on training and experience in careers like computer science, aviation, and medicine, plus education and sign-on bonuses. Parents, help your grads start their career today at Navy.com.
Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns.
Here we go again.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Shadur on the shotgun, takes a snap, whips it down the sideline.
There's been a lot of talk of Shadur Sanders. I can't wait to see what happens Friday night.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And it appears he's going to play most of the game.
It's caught. It's a touchdown.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What a massive opportunity.
Earlier on the show, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel. Coming up, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Emmy award-winning mentalist Oz Perlman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports. We'll talk college football, baby. College football is hitting now. You know what I mean? Let's go. College football is hitting. He's got his freaks list that's out there on The Athletic. It's always a fascinating story hearing how somebody is, you know, 8'9" and can run a 40-yard dash in less than 3 minutes. I mean, 3 seconds and, you know, and lifts 5 million pounds and... It's amazing. It's always a fun read. And he's going to be out here in studio in just 20 minutes' time. And then hour 3, Oz the Mentalist will be here. Do not miss it. He's got a new book out. He wants to talk about his new book called Read Your Mind. Interesting. It's about reading mind. Call that on brand, right? Calling it on brand. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. You know what? It's kind of crazy. We forget sometimes. I wrote it down here just to make sure it's... It's true. I wrote it down here. All of it is right here. Okay. Do you think I wrote it down or is this a
No, bit? This is a total bit, but okay. I can't wait to see where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here it comes.
Cam Ward was drafted first overall.
There you go. Didn't see that coming.
Oh. Yeah. A quarterback got drafted first overall. I wrote down where he's playing. Oh, yeah, Tennessee. Titans.
Do you think a lot of people know that?
Well, I mean, I wrote it down.
You wrote it down. I'm okay. Just, you know, did anyone else write it down?
No, I mean, got other things in here. Oh, yeah, he's going to start week one.
Oh, yeah. In Denver.
I can't wait to see what happens.
Number here. One defense in the league last year.
I know, right? Tough spot. Tough spot.
And they only got better.
Tough spot.
This offseason.
Tough spot. To say the least, but let's see what's going to go down. Let's see what's going to go down because it's not like the Titans have a bear cupboard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're at Tampa, which is not also an easy spot. That is on Saturday, right in the middle of the day. There's a triple header on NFL Network: Giants at Bills. That's at 1 Eastern. Then Houston at Minnesota at 4 Eastern time. C.J. Gardner-Johnson just went down.
Oh, no.
On the practice field of the Texans. I saw that over the commercial break. And then it's the Jets at the Packers. That's an NFL Network triple header. But the reason why I bring it up is the Titans. So you're going to see Cam Ward out there. I mean, let's get the kid reps. Let's get him some game action because he's a gamer. Hit it.
No, I'm listening to Coach Callahan. He know I'm ready to play the whole time if I need to. But this is also a big evaluation, not only for myself, but for the whole team. You know, I'm ready to make plays when my number's called.
How excited are you for that opportunity to get out there for the first time, like for real stuff?
I'm real excited to just be on the grass again, to just really put everything that I worked for out there and, you know, just try to, you know, lead my teammates and, you know, try to get a win out there.
Okay.
I like him.
Cam Ward is going to have the Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, two-headed running back room, right? Mm-hmm. Saw what they can do there. He's also got Tyler Lockett in his huddle. Let's not forget about that. Calvin Ridley, we all know. Van Jefferson, we all know. Unfortunately, Treylon Burks is definitely not there anymore. What a bummer for that kid.
Yep. Just couldn't stay healthy.
Well, I mean, as if he didn't have enough shoes to fill. Hey.
Right.
Hey, we're going to trade around. A.J. Brown's gone. But you're the same height, weight, speed guy. Right. Let's see the same results.
Your comp coming out of the draft was A.J. Brown, right. So that'll be great.
What's Cameron Ward going to look like? What is he going to look like? And Brian Callahan is obviously somebody who knows, you know, offense. The schedule, I could see it's already prepped. We might as well pop it up there, everybody. The home opener against the Rams, week two, that ain't easy. They've got some divisional games. Three games in a row on the road at Houston, at Arizona, at Vegas. New England at Indianapolis, home for the Chargers. There are some, if you will, winnable games. I get it. So the Titans, nobody's talking about that there's a first overall drafted quarterback. And I just can't wait to see what this kid's going to do. And the first thing that he does that's excellent, and everyone's going to start talking about how terrific the kid looks, because I'm expecting good things from him. I really am, right?
I'm right there with you.
And it's because he's got the special in him,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the red ass in him, and he seems to be really serious about his craft, right?
Yep.
Okay. And that I just can't wait to bring up the fact that everyone's going to wonder, was he such a good teammate that he left his bowl game in the middle? Remember that nonsense? Remember that craziness?
Forget that that was the pre-planned course of action.
But it's just, you know, like, what's he doing? Yeah. What's he doing leaving the game in the middle? Is he really a good teammate? I mean, all that
stupid
stuff that happens, you know. Well, but that was real time. That was before he even, you know, before he was the clear first overall pick. Don't forget, there was a ton of mock drafts that had Shador one overall. Abdul Carter was one overall.
Yeah. Travis Hunter, we talked about. Like,
Travis
just
Hunter
take him first.
Overall, I know, right? Yeah. And Travis Hunter now going to be marking somebody. Maybe he'll be on Ridley. He'll be on Lockett when Cam Ward is in the pocket. That rhymed.
Lockett in the pocket.
Yeah. So I would love to see him out there preseason. Let's go. Let's see it. Let's go. Right? Easy for me to say, but you got to get the reps in.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, since that is a steep curve. Denver, everybody loves the Denver Broncos right now.
Everybody.
Speaking of Travis Hunter, you know how I feel about it, right?
I think you're ready to adopt him.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Sure.
Son number five?
Listen.
Adopted?
Six?
The media world's changing. The sports world's changing. Just look what's going on with us. Look what's going on with NFL Network, right? It's all changing. And, you know, we're all battling for eyeballs. We're trying to find the eyeballs and the ear gates where they live. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to connect, trying to get people interested, trying to get stuff when, you know, there's a million podcasts, there's a million things you could do and pay attention to. Lots of sports to pay attention to. The reason why I bring it up is, sure, am I ready to adopt Travis Hunter? I've never met him. I've heard only great things about him, okay? But I love the opportunity. And I love the fact that in this football-loving universe that we in which we pay rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a first of its kind, potentially, growing in Duval County, you know? And so I want to see it. I want to see, you know, a lot of snaps. I want to see 80% of the snaps on offense, like Liam Cohen said. There's a reason why what Liam Cohen said here on the program kind of went in many different directions after he said it. You know, I did ask him, can he be offensive and defensive rookie of the year? And I appreciate the coach basically saying it's possible. He didn't tamp it down. He's not going to tamp down any speaking into existence types of things.
Yeah.
He also sees firsthand how hard he works, and he goes into meeting rooms. He's probably he admitted, Liam Cohen, that he does need to tamper the expectations of the kid himself. He also needs to play, you know, mediator, traffic cop between offensive and defensive staffs who want him in their rooms, right? And it was interesting, I guess, was it Teron Armstead or somebody here who pointed out that it's not easy to go on the practice field, try and beat somebody in a rep, and then show up in their meeting room as a teammate. I'm going to try and beat you, my defensive back mate, when I'm a wide receiver. Oh, and then I'll see you later in the cornerback room. Let's talk about it. Of the film of me beating you. Like, that's not easy to navigate either. So Liam Cohen saying, like, this is going to happen, made me very happy. So let me just say, I want to adopt that notion. So why are you going to be such a buzzkill, Davante Adams?
I know.
With all due respect.
Yeah, I saw this.
Why do we got to get a little dose of a buzz and a kill? This is what Davante Adams had to say on the subject matter of Travis Hunter playing both ways successfully and for a long time.
I don't even think it's possible to do for real, at a high level, and then go in there. It's hard enough to go cover a punt and then be on, you know, one side, you know, and I haven't done it. I'm not acting like I'm on kickoff or punt, but I see the dudes and I know, you know, you got your guys and you see the yardage of my yardage over the game versus somebody that starts on offense and then plays special teams as well. Like, that's just a lot of mileage, man. And I don't know how long. I'm not even concerned so much if he can do it over the course of a game or a season. It's more like, how long is his career going to be if he's playing that many snaps? Because all you're doing is doubling your risk for injury, one. Wow. And I don't wish any of that on him. I hope that he can play an injury-free season and go ball out. But, I mean, that's just the reality. The more you're on the field, it's already 100% injury guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, once you get out there playing both sides, and now you got to tackle.
Yep.
You got to tackle Derrick Henry. With that frame, like, I mean, he's athletic as hell, but the athleticism, he better do some ninja if he want to use that to get him. Yeah, that's a lot of football to play.
Some ninja ass.
I mean, that has been my point right there.
That's funny.
Why has he got to be so
realistic?
Realistic about it. No, I understand that.
Hater.
That's not hater. It's not hater. It's just, you know, part of me gets that
dose of
reality coming from an OG and a future Hall of Famer and Davante Adams makes me go, well, I see your point. And, you know, right, like, you've been there and done it, and you know it. And by the way, everyone that's sitting there on the pivot knows it, you know. And
they've all been there.
And so, you know, there's no pushback for a reason, you know. And I understand all that. So there's part of me that's saying, damn it, those are the headwinds that my loving this idea of Travis Hunter getting out there and doing all that stuff is, it's there, it's real. And it's a dose of reality that is a cold water that also leads me to think, on the other hand, to say to Davante Adams and his incredible, vast Hall of Fame experience, stick to tacos in your basement, man.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I understand what your lane is. Your lane's pretty damn wide.
Yep. Good, great lane.
It's a great lane. It's a hell of a lane. Yep. I like that lane.
Yep, great lane.
You know, you want to sign up for that lane?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not even talking about as a human being. I mean, he's great in that lane, too. And he's just trying to bring a human approach of, like, hey, man, We're human, we're flesh, we're blood, and, you know, and you want to play in this league a long time, so don't. But I want to see it anyway. Try it. Right? What's the Gretzky line?
You miss 100% of the shots.
You don't take.
Let's take the shot.
What's the harm in trying,
I'm
right?
I'm just saying, that's what I tried to tell you for weeks. It doesn't mean anything coming from me.
I listen to you. I listen to Davante Adams.
Yeah. So now you have someone who has actually been there.
Either.
You want Travis Hunter run down, bro. I
do not want him run down.
I want a 15 years of Travis Hunter.
Want him to prove that it can be done and he can get through the season. That he can be the one who doesn't get dinged up to the point where he can do this. Like, he's the one.
I'd love to see
he's
it too.
He's the Neo, right? Like, this is it. Like, this.
Neo,
he's the one.
Neo, you at Matrix.
He's the Matrix. Let's go. Let's see it. It's such a rare opportunity.
But it's the NFL, not college. That's exactly the difference. Like, you tell those guys in the bars, Mike, you think you can.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You stick to tacos in your basement, too.
It's Del Tuesday.
Everybody, man. Tuesday. Del Tuesday.
Del
nice.
Tuesday.
This guy.
Del Tuesday. Del Tuesday.
Yeah. I heard that.
They
was
follow
spot.
Me. Man, but I don't want to hear that. Hard. I just want them to do it, too.
I just don't
want to
hear it.
I want them to do
it. Look, you'll get it for a few games, I'm sure. Absolutely.
No, I want to see it for a season. I want offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I want to see Ohtani in cleats. Ohtani in pads.
Look, that would be amazing.
That's what I want.
That would be amazing. Except Ohtani missed a full season of doing one of those things because of.
That's, I guess, a bad example.
Both. Yeah, my arm. Yeah.
If he wins both, Rich.
Let's go.
Rich Stradamus. You are.
You got to be that way, Devontae. What a bummer. You don't really bum me out.
You think Devontae's got the Taco Bell and out here? Or does.
I think he is whatever he wants.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a lot of better taco spots in L.A.
Okay. All right, good to know. All right, 844-204-RICH, number to know. Let's bring Bruce Feldman out here.
Bruce.
They're not saying boo.
They're saying
Bruce.
Bruce.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed, luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like, and it gives you your best night's sleep, night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Get early access to Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year. 25% off the i8 bed, the most popular, plus free home delivery, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3 year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Back here on the program, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while. Welcome back to our show from Fox Sports and the Athletic. Bruce Feldman, good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to see
Fresh
you.
Fresh off the Fox, NFL/college football symposium, right?
Sure.
Is what it is?
Retreat. Offsite.
Now, listen, let me explain to everybody. Back in the day, all major networks had massive retreats. But there's been a, if you will, retreat in terms of having massive retreats. Fox, though, is not one of those people, right? We're blowing it out still, right?
They're blowing it out. It is an impressive gathering.
Out there in Terranea, down in. Were you invited, Mike?
Rich. Rich.
Was Mike there?
Technically,
did you see Mike there?
I did not see him. He might have been under the bar by the time I got there, though.
Are you below the line? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm a technician.
But you won Emmys. What's going on?
Doesn't matter.
I was in Bristol, number one.
Jerry Steinberg's not there. He's not there. Sunning himself by the pool.
I don't need to go to that. I mean, that's.
But you won all the Emmys.
That's for Bruce.
All right. Who was there? Give me the headliners.
The headliners are like our NFL crew. It's like all these.
They're all there.
I mean, your two most proud alums on the Michigan side. You know, Charles and.
Oh, sure. There. But you said they brought Jimmy Johnson back, huh?
Yeah.
Just to say hi to people?
Just to,
Is this Fight Club? I don't know. Is this Fight Club? No. Are we not allowed to talk about it?
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but we're starting.
I mean, it was Jimmy Johnson. They brought
people
him back.
He's a beloved figure, not just, you know, like one cool, really cool thing about it is I think a lot of the behind the scenes people, you know, you just have a lot of reverence for the people you might have. I mean, I used to be a sideline reporter. You work with different crews, know people from different places.
Right.
As somebody who's kind of interacted with a bunch of the NFL people, it's cool because you just, as they'll say, it's really the one or two nights of the year, everybody gets to see everybody.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome. And they have like, you know, on the NFL side, we have like legends, you know, as you know.
Of course.
It's not just Charles and Tom Brady. It's like, I mean, there's Howie Long.
It's Terry, you know, the whole Jimmy. Business,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, I grew up a huge Steeler fan way back when. It's Terry Bradshaw. I was like, that's a big deal to me.
Bruce Feldman back from the Fox Sports pre-football season retreat. Bruce, first item up for bids here for us is what I spoke about at the end of the first hour in an interview with Texas Monthly, Archie Manning, the patriarch of the Manning empire, if you will. Saying that Arch is going to stay at Texas no matter what happens this year. He's not leaving for the NFL after 2025. That's not going to happen, is what he said. What's your opinion of all of this?
I'm not surprised at all. We did a big story on Arch about 6 weeks ago, and it was really from the perspective of Cooper, his dad, and Ellen, his mom, and how they raised him and just the process of raising the next Manning, but also just raising kids in the social media era, which is obviously different than what Archie's three boys came through. But one of the things that I remembered Cooper telling me was I think they were very mindful of, there's no need to rush I think he's seen plenty of examples of the NFL world is quick to throw guys under the bus. You know, as soon as if things don't go great right out of the gate.
Like Caleb Williams is a perfect example.
Well, the other one I remember us talking a little bit was Baker Mayfield.
That's another good one.
Right? And he finds a great second act now in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Which is technically his fourth act.
You know
what I mean? I'm not saying that to nitpick. It's just.
Yeah, he went to the Rams. He went to the
There was a journey that nobody saw coming when he was first overall.
Yeah. And so we talked about that. And I think, you know, he really had a lot of perspective on that, in that, you know, being ready at when you're ready, like, it's really important. And it was like, no real need to rush the process. So I'm not surprised. The other thing that I think people lose sight of, because Arch's name has been out there, we've talked about him for a long time, I feel like, on this show. And I feel like people forget he's only started a couple of games. And this is his first time. It's his team. And for one season, even if it's 16 games, which the season's obviously now longer for really good college football teams.
Right.
It's still not that much of a sample size. And so I know, you know, I kind of saw a little bit of the social media chatter off of the comments from Archie about this. And just in the back of my head, not even the back of my head, I was like, okay. You know, you can all have your perspectives on what's good for business or whatever and money. Like, the Mannings know more about developing quarterbacks than anybody else does, right? I mean, both sons who are highly rated coming out of high school blossomed into great, you know, iconic quarterbacks. Everything that seems like they've done with Arch to this point seems like it's been spot on. So somebody can say, oh, yeah, it's like, it doesn't make sense to do this, or, you know, they can talk about business or whatever. Like, A, they're doing well financially. And B, everybody I've talked to there, including somebody I talked to yesterday at UT, thinks he's loving, you know, having the time of his life there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because when I saw this quote from Archie as well, I thought it could also be a great way to just let's not have this conversation with this kid this year. Like, let him, because they, you know, obviously the Mannings know all about developing quarterbacks. They also know about business. They also know about life, right? This kid is going to have an opportunity to be the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. Let him be a kid. Yeah. Let him be a kid on campus. Let him be the BMOC. Peyton remembers what it was like on campus in Knoxville.
And it's different now, by the way, because of the camera phones and all the social media challenges.
I was saying, like, when I was thinking to myself, when you're like that social media, when Peyton and Eli and Cupper were of that age, you know, Snapchat was basically like about cadence for them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that. So that said, just let him be a kid and try and provide the cover for it, because the NFL is going to be there. And one would think, like, if he does have a monster season and they do survey the scene and go, you know what? A really good organization with a really good coach and a really good ownership group and a really good front office has the first overall pick or would move up to take Arch. Got to consider that. Like, that may be something that is down the road, but why not just provide him some cover right now and say, don't ask him about it. Don't make this season about what's next in the NFL. Just make it about, let him just live in an Austin bubble and go about his business, be a BMOC, and live his collegiate life, because that day will soon be over.
And I think part of it isn't even it's like the opposite of the BMOC part. I think even though that's going to be there,
right.
I think everything I've heard from their family, but also the people at UT who I talk to, is he gets to be as much of a regular guy as he can be there.
Yes.
Right? You go to the NFL, and all that changes, right? And so I just think time is on his side. Now, the one thing of all, and I get it, where it's like, you know, there's different situations. The situation that Caleb went to is very different than the one Jaden Daniels ended up in last year. And that's kind of a fickle process, how it can kind of play out.
Yes.
You know, there's an injury component that obviously people can worry about. It's a physical sport. But I just think in terms of like maximizing who he is as a quarterback with reps, with time on task, with all the experience and exposure, that benefits him in the long run, but it certainly benefits him in the short run especially. And then the other side of it is if he's, you know, done everything he wants to do to be at Texas, this is why it's really important. Now, listen, it's his team. Why, you know, why would you want to rush that? I mean, if you're him. Now, mm-hmm. I get it why all of us in the media world, yes. It gives us something to talk about because he is such a recognizable brand, even if they don't want to be a brand. That's what he is to outsiders.
Bruce Feldman here from Fox Sports and The Athletic. It's too bad Arch's first game as the starter this year, no one's going to see. Wait a minute. What a monster game. I mean, you must be, and everybody at Big Noon and Fox and everybody must be out of their minds in anticipation of
one
Saturday,
versus two now.
Saturday, yeah. of Labor Day weekend. Have we ever had a one versus two on week zero, if you
no.
will?
No. Well, that's not, it's week one. Week zero is the week before.
My bad. Then
but you can watch the Kansas Fresno State game.
Thank
Fox.
You, sir. I will do that. Well done. There'll be something extra. But yeah, I mean, this is insane. What a first big game. Like, what's your first blush thoughts? Obviously, you've got the defending national champs moving in a new direction at quarterback themselves. What do you got for me?
Can't wait. I mean, I would argue that the best player in the country is at Ohio State. That's Jeremiah Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was number one on my freaks list this year. He is a guy, if he was in the draft, I think he would be the first pick in the draft. He is that special.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw what he did last year. I understand. But okay, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I mean, the interesting part here with Ohio State, obviously defending national champs, as you said, Will Howard, the quarterback, who played really well down the stretch. He's
sure
now
did.
Off in the NFL. They have to replace him, whether it's, you know, Julian Sain was the big recruit who's very accurate, and I think he'll be the guy, but Lincoln Kienholz is a guy who's been around, you know, more athletic, bigger, gives them more of a running presence at the quarterback. Not let's say similar to Will Howard, but has, you know, has some of that in him. The part that is the wild card for me for Ohio State is both coordinators are gone, right? Chip Kelly, who did a really good job, especially with the run game last year, He's now in Las Vegas with Pete Carroll. And Jim Knowles, who did an amazing job with the defense, he's at Penn State. So now you get Matt Patricia, who's never been a college coach, running the defense. And Brian Hartline, who's been an amazing receivers coach, now he steps up into that role. They don't have those two great running backs. And those guys were dynamite for Ohio State. I think that's the biggest area where there's going to be a drop-off. It's not at quarterback. I think that's the part where you're like, man, they had Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins were a lethal 1-2 punch, and they really exploited it last year in that offense. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're not going to be a playoff team. I still think they're loaded. You know, I mean, Caleb Downs is probably the best defensive player in the country. He's the safety, and obviously Jeremiah Smith's the best offensive player. So you start with that. They got great linebackers who can run and are big and impressive. But there's probably going to be some growing pains a little bit just because new coordinators, and again, I think they're going to miss the run game element just because the talent in that running back room isn't the same as it used to be.
They seem to just keep on churning them
they
out.
Do.
Oh, man.
They do.
It's not like they're. But I understand you still need to see it, and you need to see it to the level of what we saw, national championship quality. I understand that. Have we gotten through the if Ryan Day drops one game, he should be fired stuff? Do you get a sense that from the Buckeye faithful that last year's magical run was enough? What do you think?
Yeah,
what
I think it's now. Look, lose to Michigan again, and I don't know how they react to that. But that's 3 months away.
But I understand. And listen, you know, I have my fun with this, and I love it. By the way, I love talk. This is one of my favorite subject matters. You know,
oh, I know.
But wouldn't last year just go ahead and prove that that regular season game, as much as we love it, as much as you know, Big Noon Fox loves to have it, that it's really all now about the games after such a thing, and that truly the next big, massive, all stakes on the table, Michigan Ohio State game will be the first time we ever see it in the college football playoffs. Like when you say that, like wouldn't
logically, I would agree with everything you're saying, but logic doesn't work in that. You know, I get it. I think he's a terrific coach. I think he's done an amazing job there, but it's just like I know there is that element of the Ohio State fan base. I'm not going to guess at what what the percentage of how big that is.
Sure.
But I think it just kind of lurks around, especially because last year Michigan was really down.
That is correct.
So
that was correct. That was one of the most stunning Michigan wins, period. Doesn't matter against who. And moving on, I guess, for Michigan, do we see the kid? Is it going to be Bryce Underwood?
I think it's
going to
be Bryce Underwood.
You do?
You know, very talented. He does not have like elite pieces around him, right? Like they have, I don't think it's the caliber of the O-line that JJ had when they were, you know, winning the national title. The run game, you know, they've added some, you know, transfers and I just don't think they have a lot of firepower around him receiver wise. And before, obviously, when they won a national title, I honestly thought it fit well because JJ could make plays when he had to, was a good runner, could throw on the run. They had Corum. They had Loveland when he was healthy, but it wasn't like they had this really explosive offense. They do not have a lot of pieces around Bryce Underwood where I think he's going to put up big numbers. I do think last year they were so bad on offense. You have a new offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey. I imagine they will be better, but Khalil Mullings was actually terrific for them.
No, there's no doubt. I mean,
he put the program on his back at times.
Well, against USC, for
against,
sure.
Against, yeah, yeah, no doubt.
And then,
he put USC State on his back.
Right. It's right. USC was on his back. That's right. So Penn State is 2 in the conference? Or they can overtake Ohio State, that game at
the
horseshoe's that big.
Yeah, they're talented enough.
Okay.
You know, obviously, Drew Aller's a guy with a lot of physical talent.
And he's probably raising his hand saying, what are you talking about, Arch?
I don't think he wants that talk right now. Nobody wants that talk at this point. Let me just go out and do it.
Right.
They've upgraded a lot at receiver, which they had to do in the portal. Trevor Pena, who I think somebody here knows, has seen a lot of. Mm-hmm. Really good receiver at Syracuse. You know, I know talking to James Franklin, he's talked about how he's kind of hit the ground running athletically there. But they have 3 guys that have come in. they're loaded. Both running backs came back. That's a wow thing because usually you may get one to come back, but not both.
Right.
The offensive line is elite. They have a bunch of freaky athletes on the defensive side. I think the biggest question mark for them is just, not a question mark. The thing I'm most interested to see is Jim Knowles, who did such a good job everywhere he's been, Oklahoma State, and then certainly at Ohio State. And he knows what it takes to see Ohio State because he was saw it up close. You know, this is a team, a program that often lived and died, you know, in man coverage. And that's great when you, but when you play Ohio State, that's not great. That's a tough ask. And I think Jim Knowles is very good at having answers and keeping people off balance. I really want to see, because they did a really good job with Andy Kotelnicki. That was the offensive coordinator they brought in last year. But I think on the other side of the ball, I think maybe Jim Knowles has the ability to take them one notch up, which is a national title team.
Let's talk Prime. Obviously, his health issues front and center, and it appears, again, we're getting through his bladder cancer, or he's working through it, and he's healthy. We're on the track. And then before that, it was all about Shador and being drafted. Now that, if we can place those two things aside, what does Colorado look like in the post Shador Sanders era for Prime, in your estimation, the expectation level in the Big 12?
I think the roster, probably top to bottom, might be a little better than it was a couple of years ago when he first started getting it going.
Right.
The star power is not there because Shador was a high-level college quarterback. Mm-hmm. And more than anything, Travis Hunter was a generational player who could take over games, and he did. You know, whether it was a big play on offense or causing a fumble to, at the goal line to save them in a game, like, that is, you can't replace that ability to just take over and make huge plays. They were a 9-win team last year who was in the top 25. I do think they'll take a step back, but I think they can still be a bowl team. I don't want to say this is a rebuild year, but you have new quarterback, whether it's going to be Caden Salter, who played a lot, was a starter at Liberty, or Juju Lewis, who's a 17-year-old quarterback who was a big recruit for them. I mean, I think at some point you're going to see a lot of Juju Lewis. You know, he's not, it's funny, I saw him like a month ago, and he's quite as the size of Bryce Young, but about that. But it's not like Bryce Young and Kyler Murray are not the comparison because they're more dynamic athletes than he is. But he is a really good passer, and there's still plenty of weapons around for him. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Keep going. That's our sound man who's phone.
Your tech
off.
Guy. What is going on?
Don't worry about it, man. It's
sorry.
Okay. It's all
and
right.
You win Emmys?
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry.
That's why he wasn't invited to turn it that's right there. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, so I don't think they're going to fall apart. I just think some of those moments where Travis took over, I don't know who does that. You know, there's some good NFL talent. Like, they have a big-time cornerback who, physically is what they look for. But again, I just think that they're kind of somewhere between where they were in year one of Deion when they won 4 games,
right,
and last year when they were 9. I think they're probably 6 or 7 wins.
So in the couple minutes I have left with you, tell me about the freaks list that you put together and just give me some bullet points here, and everyone can go to The Athletic to read the whole thing.
Yeah, so I've been doing it for 20 years.
Amazing.
And it's gotten bigger and bigger, in part with, your friend Daniel Jeremiah and the NFL scouting world has really kind of leaned into it too.
That's great.
But it's amazing to see what, when I started this was like, okay, who are the guys in each program that make their coaches and teammates say, wow, and by what they do, whether it's the number two guy on the list, Caden Proctor, is a 6'7", 366-pound left tackle for Alabama. His strength numbers are insane. The numbers that blew me away when, do a triple take, where when I saw he vertical jumped 32 inches and broad jumps, 9.5 feet.
It's insane. It's crazy.
It is insane. So here, you're around the combine every year.
Right? And it gets freakier every year.
There are 5 receivers at the NFL combine this year who didn't jump that high. Chad Johnson, all-time great player. He didn't even jump that high. And this guy weighs like 150 pounds, almost 200 pounds more. You know, it's insane.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Do you have like a keep going. Do you got another one or two?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know, there's a Oregon has a defensive tackle, right? You saw, like, obviously Oregon had a first rounder last year and a guy, Jamari Caldwell, was going to play in the NFL probably a long time.
Yeah.
Amari Washington is 6'3", 340 pounds, runs like 21 miles per hour. It's insane to be that fast. Like, at some point, whatever it is going to be 9 months from now, they're going to have a video of him just blowing past you. Probably, you know, like, it, I can see it. They're going to give you a 15-yard head start, and he's going to run you down. Like,
I love it. I'll take it. I'll take it.
But then there's the flip side of it is, like, the smaller guys who are just incredibly strong, that are 180 pounds and you know, bench press more than twice their body weight. Like I said, Jeremiah Smith's my number one guy this year. But then there's another Buckeye, Sonny Styles, who's a terrific linebacker. Dad played in the NFL.
Yeah.
When you see him in person, you're like, oh my God, he looks just like kind of the Greek god. He was walking around Vegas at Big Ten Media Days. And, you know, when I talked to him for a while about this, he was just talking about like how his dad had them doing all these like plyometrics and agility stuff from the time they were 5 and 6 years old.
Do you have a list of, before I let you go, is there a list, like a spreadsheet of over the 20 years, fastest times, fastest, you know, most?
I'm not that organized.
Well, no. I'm just saying, because I would just love to see how the development of the freakiness has gone, that what was freaky 10 years ago right now is just like, oh, okay, it's just another day that ends in Y.
Yeah, the only thing was, you know? Calvin Johnson was 20 years ago. We're not, you know, it's like.
So even there's something freaky from 20 years ago that would equally stand out
today. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, if you ask me who are the 10 freakiest guys who have come through college football.
Yes.
Like, Calvin Johnson's in the top three. That was 20 years ago.
Megatron, man.
You know, like, one of the cool things about Jeremiah Smith, the best comparison I could come up with for him is Andre Johnson.
Wow.
You know, Hall of Famer, Andre Johnson, like, because they are incredibly strong. They're both Miami kids. Now, I think Jeremiah Smith is probably more polished at an early age.
Jeez.
But you're talking about a guy who just ragdolls people, but he runs 23.5 miles per hour and super strong. But like, so when I met Jeremiah Smith's dad last year and we were talking about this, and I brought up the Andre Johnson thing, he goes, you know, I got a photo I'm going to send you. JJ is like 7 and it's with him with Andre Johnson. And it's a really, you know, it's a cool photo of like, guy who at the time was, you know, on the path to be a Hall of Famer, but certainly wasn't at that stage of his, you know, life.
Sure.
And a guy who, I don't want to say Jeremiah Smith's going to be a Hall of Famer, it's too soon to make that, but like the best player in college football. And, you know, the things, the common trait is the drive, the work ethic, and the toughness, not just the physical toughness, but like the mental toughness. Mm. And I think people pouring into them, and it's really cool to see when it all comes together.
Check it out on The Athletic. Great to see you, sir. Thanks for coming in here. Look forward to another season. Let's do it.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat, or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else. Not even us. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
You say you'll never join the Navy. That living on a submarine would be too hard. You'd never power a whole ship with nuclear energy. Never bring a patient back to life. Or play the national anthem for a sold-out crowd. Joining the Navy sounds crazy. Saying never actually is. Start your journey at Navy.com. America's Navy, forged by the sea.
So I tell Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, my two openers.
Yes.
I said, hey, we're doing the Mullet Arena. We'll do two shows. We do one show Saturday night. Sells out at Friday. Sells out at Wednesday, at Thursday. Doing four shows. Guys, it's a little treat. Super Bowl tickets on me. Good seats. $125,000.
Well, you're going for the primo. Well,
yeah, I didn't know. My wife called and she goes, they just took $125,000 out of our account. Is something going on? Do you need to talk to me about something? Are you going to South Africa for a month? I was like, no, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't even like either of the teams.
See, now this is, now that this is your rookie experience mistake, is you need to check the prices before offering to take people in primo seats.
Or wait until the whole line comes over and they go, we each get 15 tickets. Do you want some? I went, are you kidding me? One guy's like, well, you got to sit with my parents. I was like, I am getting along great with parents. Did your dad drink? Because I black out in front of your family like I do my family. This is the rub.
Oh no.
They don't tell you your seats until Friday.
Get out of here!
You don't know where you're sitting. I don't even know who I gave the money to.
Oh my God.
I don't even know. My manager just goes, I need $125,000. And I gave it to somebody. I feel like Bernie Madoff's client. Like, I'm just sitting there going, so you think Bitcoin's gonna really do well? I hope this money turns out. Matt Damon said we're cool.
Oh my God.
Tom Brady's involved. This should be a win-win, right?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard and crying.
I don't even know who. I don't even know when I get my ticket.
Burton, it's the greatest heist ever.
Yeah. We're the puppy bowl.
Burton, go to the puppy bowl. Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, if I have bad seats, I'm going to be living. I hate the Super Bowl. I'm going to be rooting against both teams.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. My wife is so angry at me.
She thought you were robbed.
I should have helped out so many poor children. And I'm just throwing money away.
We have to know.
There's people mining cobalt, and I'm sitting here with. Oh, I feel like Brewster's Million.
Oh, God.
I'm sweating and laughing.
I'm done.
And I'm not the one 150, 125 grand in the hole. Oh, my God.
Good stuff with Bert Kreischer in all the years. It was just tough to understand him when he starts laughing.
Well, when he gets going like that.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
He can't stop himself.
It's all on our YouTube channel, everybody. I think Bill Burr's on the docket to come back here in September.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Got that one. Oh, do you?
Yeah, yeah. You want to go to the USS Constitution?
One of our favorites.
I love it. I love him.
Bill Burr, everybody.
He's so good.
Bill Burr. That's coming up in September. I just love it. I love it when we have the comedians on there. Just they make my day. There's no question about it. Let's go to Noah in Portland, Oregon. He's been hanging on forever. What's up, Noah?
Up. Hey guys,
what's going on?
Hey,
thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you got it.
First time, short time.
Okay, we'll take it. Yeah. What's on your mind?
I wanted to do win loss for my Panthers.
The Carolina Panthers in Portland, Oregon.
Hey now,
you were the first one to call in and say I want to do this, so you've got the floor, man. You've got the floor. Carolina Panthers win loss game. Noah in Portland, Oregon.
Can we start with tomorrow's game? Because it could get kind of rough. I'd like to
see. Well, I mean, it starts at Jacksonville when it really means something. So what do you got?
With Jacksonville, I was hoping about tomorrow's game against Cleveland. Because I think that's going to be our first win.
Well, I need an answer here, though. No. What happens at the Jacksonville Jaguars?
That's going to be a win.
At the Cardinals?
Ooh, a win.
2-0 home for the Falcons.
Win.
That's a 3-0 start for the Carolina Panthers at the Patriots.
Yeah, we're coming up hot. We woke up.
At the Patriots.
Oh. That's going to be a win.
That's 4-0 home for the Dolphins.
That's going to be a lot.
4-1 home for the Cowboys.
With all due respect, that's going to be a win.
Atta baby. 5-1 at the Jets.
That one, I'm excited for the Jets this year. That's going to be a loss.
5-2 home for the Bills.
That's definitely going to be a loss.
5-3 at the Packers.
That's going to be a loss.
5-4 home for the Saints.
I caught your interview with Tyler Shuck. Amazing. I'm really rooting for him. That's going to be a win.
All right, you're back. 6-4 at the Falcons.
That's going to be a win.
7-4 at the 49ers on a Monday night.
That's going to be a loss.
7-5 home for the Rams.
That's going to be a loss.
7-6 off a bye at the Saints.
That's going to be a win.
8-6 home for the Bucks.
That's going to be a win.
9-6 home for the Seahawks on a Saturday.
That's going to be a loss.
9-7 at the Bucks.
That's going to be a loss.
9-8 would be quite the season for the Carolina Panthers. Thanks for the call, Noah, in Portland. You got it. There he goes.
See you, Noah.
4-0 for the Carolina Panthers would be
shocking.
Would be a storyline of September. That'd be a top five storyline of September. Would be the 4-0 Carolina Panthers.
7.5 their win total.
He has them winning the first four and then losing four of the next five, then splitting the next four and splitting the final four. So you want to go quarters of the season. That's what he's got. Hey, you always look for a team that finished strong one year and then and it bleeds into the next. Carolina,
absolutely.
Carolina is a prime candidate for that. Yep. Prime. So, and it, you know, they have only one nationally televised game, and that's at San Francisco on the Monday nighter of Thanksgiving week. So, O's the Mentalist. He's coming out of our green room shortly, an hour three. Still here on the Roku Sports Channel, everybody. Carolina, I mean, you can't consider Denver a sleeper team anymore.
No.
Okay, right?
For 2025?
That's right.
No, definitely right. Not.
Give me another sleeper team. Carolina is a prime candidate. Give me another one. Arizona would be another prime candidate for a sleeper team.
Yeah, Arizona. Far down you want to go. Seattle is kind of a sleeper team.
What about your Patriots?
Jacksonville.
Are they a sleeper team candidate?
Sleeper potential.
Yeah. Meaning what though? About 500, going above 500.
Yeah, meaning like 10 wins. That's kind of that'd be a huge season.
What is? Do you see Vrabel came out of a scrum bleeding from his cheek or something like that?
You don't know what happened? Do you know what happened? So they're joint practicing with Washington, where Drake May reportedly outplayed Jaden Daniels. And Travion Henderson in the backfield picking up a blitz. Pancakes Von Miller. Huge fight breaks out.
Uh-oh.
Massive scrum. Vrabel gets in the pile, pulling guys off. Will Campbell pulling guys off. Comes out of it. Cheek bleeding.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
I think, sir, you are, and you knew it, you sensed it. Even Coop knew
this
it.
This was the greatest move they've made in quite some time.
Travion Henderson, going to love him.
I need everyone to stop talking about
it. Why? Because you want to draft him?
Just we need that to sneak up on people.
Well, it will because, you know, rookies don't usually get the 20-25 carry treatment right off the bat unless they're a top 10 pick at the position. And Ramondre Stevenson is no piker.
Still there. Antonio Gibson still there. Had a great year last year. So
he'll be worked in. He'll be worked in to start. But yeah, I think
he's been showing the big-time ability in the receiving game
so far.
I think
he's going to be
home run hitter, second half of the year.
You're going to really like him.
Yeah, I was very excited when they drafted him, and I'm excited.
And Will Campbell up front today. Too.
Yeah,
and he pancaked Von Miller.
Travion Henderson picked him up in pass blocking. Pancakes Von Miller. Scrum. Vrabel bleeding.
I just saw the video. The fight kind of steered towards the crowd and the stands, and people were jumping out the way.
Yeah, okay. This guy, give me the reports of Drake May outperforming Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
To Jaden Daniels, 0. 60, almost 70% completion. Jaden Daniels around 60. So what more metrics do you need?
Are you yawning over there?
I mean, it's a joint practice. Preseason
it's
practice.
Basically a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? back shouldering Kayshon Booty for touchdowns? Come on now, people.
That's it.
Get excited.
That's
man.
A booty call.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.